All right. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for all you do. It's going to be a wonderful night, Lord, because we believe in Jesus' name. You know, Lord, you're everything to all of us. You're our all in all. You're the life of our life, Lord. You're everything that we've ever wanted. You're the spirit of our spirit, Lord. And I'm asking you, Lord, to look with mercy on all of us tonight and to fill us up with your Holy Spirit. So much so, Lord, that everything else that's opposed to you is out of there. In Jesus' name, we just praise you, Father, because you're the giver of life. You're the giver of our life. And we thank you, Father, that you are that giver of life. You created us for one reason, and that's for you to fellowship with you, Lord. And I just praise you that tonight we're going to have a wonderful time because you're going to be leading this show. And we praise you for it, Father. We ask and we pray, Lord, that you put it on our minds to always glorify you because you're the giver of our life. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that everybody here is going to be filled to overflowing with your love and your Holy Spirit tonight, Father. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you be glorified in each one of us as we go about this fellowship, learning whatever it is that you have for us to learn tonight, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless this fellowship tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay. Find me a clean sheet here. What's going on? In the prayer request category here. Anybody got a prayer request? I would like to be prayed for. I got a praise report or testimony.
Yeah, I have something.
All right, Deb.
So yesterday I was in Walmart, and the day before. And I, coming out, first of all, the greeter, the older guy who's standing at the greeter, was sitting there, really looked really, his frown on his face, and didn't say hi, and I kind of wanted to like, well, hi to you too, buddy, but I put that down, you know, I didn't do that. So I thought, what's wrong with him? So I left, it was all done leaving, he was standing up and he had a little smile on his face. I gave him a smile back and I got outside. I was getting towards the outside door. I know the Lord told me to go back and talk to him. And I was like, whoa. And no, I just kept on walking outside. And I actually wrestled for several seconds standing there on the sidewalk, wanting to go back towards my car or back into the store. It was a wrestling. I finally decided, I don't know what to say to him, Lord. So I started to walk off right back towards the car, and Lord said, ask me if he needs prayer. And so I thought, I cannot not go in and ask if he needs prayer because God is telling me this. So I went back in and talked to a really sweet man. He said he is a believer. He needed prayer. He's really concerned because they're letting the greeters go, and he's heard some things about the possibility of them not getting the severance pay they should give them. And so he was really concerned about that and about health issues. So I stood there and prayed with him and prayed for his situation with Walmart for his health issues. So I just want to thank the Lord that I had the boldness and the obedience to go back and do that. So praise the Lord. And I want to pray for this man. I don't even know his name. I didn't ask him his name. But so Lord, just praying and still believing because we asked and prayed there and agreed that you will bless him in this thing with his job, Lord. that you would favor him and he would not lose the whatever that pay is that he has coming to them for being let go, Lord. And just pray that you would just minister this to him and let him know, God, that you answered prayer and that you sent someone to pray with him, Lord. And I hope that he was lifted up, Lord, in his faith and in knowing that you are on the scene, Lord, you will answer prayer, God. And I just pray for his health issues, that He will see a change in that too, God, that you will touch whatever it is in his body, whether it's blood pressure or whatever problems he might have or anything that we just rebuke and bind and cast out of him in the name of Jesus and command healing to come into him, God, that you be glorified, Father. Mm-hmm. Thank you, and that you'll just spur him on to put his faith in you more, to look to you and trust you more, God, and give you glory and have testimonies, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Is that just in that one store or they doing it? Store-wide?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, we just lift up all the older people that are greeters in all the Walmart. And Lord, we just thank you. What?
I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were praying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's all the Walmarts.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift them all up to you, and we ask, Lord, that you place it in their hearts to look after you, look for you, Lord, and quit looking to Walmart for the provisions, because you're the great I am. You can provide anything and everything that they need. And Father, we thank you for doing that for all the greeters. In the name of Jesus, Father, send your angels forth, Lord, to minister to them and to show them that you will, in your word, you will take care of them. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see. All right, go ahead, Wade. I'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah. I wanted to pray for my hands and one of my neighbor's hands. My two bottom fingers on my right and left hand burn and have a tingling sensation, pain, almost 24 hours a day. We prayed for it before, but I don't know. And my neighbor, his two top fingers on both hands, he says it feels like arthritis. Arthritis, I know David Eales said it was a fairly easy spirit to conquer. And I can send it away, but it won't stay away from my friend's hands. So it comes back. I don't know what to, I mean, the pain goes away when we pray, but then 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, it's back again. So I wanted to pray for my hands and my neighbor's hands, Louie's hands.
All right, let's do yours first. And when I pray for it, that demon's going to go. And it's up to you for that demon to stay away. So when it comes, if it comes back, you tell it, in the name of Jesus, I have been prayed for. This is gone. You're not allowed here. And then it won't come to you anymore. Yep. You get that?
I got that.
Yeah. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Wade to you. And that pain that's in his fingers, we command it to go. In his hands, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. And you're not allowed to come back. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you put great and bold faith into Wade to keep fighting it and to keep telling it, no, you can't come back because I've been prayed for it. I'm not under the curse. You can't do this. In Jesus' name, I command it to go. And I thank you, Lord, that you're making a mighty warrior out of Wade. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that his hand, that pain, I command that spirit of pain off of him right now. In Jesus' name, spirit of arthritis, you go. In the name of Jesus, or any other kind of spirit that's not supposed to be there, go right now in Jesus' name. And that friend of his, we command the spirit of pain out of him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wait, next time you see your friend, you just grab a hold of his hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I command that pain to go. And it will go. You minister healing, healing comes to you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That weight is healed, sealed, and ready for the kingdom. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Where's the pain at, Wade?
The pain in my left hand is almost totally gone, but the pain in my right hand is still, I can feel the pain when I open and close my hand.
Okay. Let me go through this again.
In Jesus' name.
When I pray for you, the pain is gone. You confess that it's gone, and it'll be gone. But if you confess that it's still there, it will be there. It don't have to go. So I'm going to pray for you one more time, and I'm going to ask you, where's the pain? You're going to say it's gone. Okay? By faith we do that, don't we, Wade?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, I command the pain in the right and left hand and anywhere else in his body to leave in Jesus' name. And I command it by the power and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus covers both of his hands, and that pain has got to go. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that it is gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Wade?
Yes, it's gone.
Amen. Where's the pain?
It's gone.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And then go, and then just pay attention to what's going on here. Next thing you know, the pain, well, it is gone, praise God, and it is. Okay, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, after listening to Debbie's testimony, I realized that yesterday I heard the voice of the Lord, too. Thought I went over to the park to play a little basketball. And always I turn right to come back to our place. And as I'm looking at the road, I see there's an old Chevy truck on the side of the road to the left. The hood's up and going, well, you know, not my problem. And Lord said, you had somebody stop and help you last time you were broke down, buddy. You better go see what that guy needs. And so I listened, and we pull up behind him and get out. It's a diesel pickup, and he'd run out of fuel. And I go, oh, that's not good. And so the gas station just down the street a little bit, and went and got him some diesel and brought it back. He went underneath there and pouring the gas in, or the diesel in. And in the meantime, I noticed he's got a faded shirt that says God or Jesus or something on it, but it's pretty faded out. And these people have had better times. I knew that. But anyway, he gets underneath there and pours in some fuel, and has his wife start cranking the engine over. And I'd never experienced it, that when a diesel runs out of fuel, it could be a real bear. A lot of times it won't even start. And she's cranking it and cranking it and cranking it, and nothing's happening. The battery's getting weaker and getting weaker. And I go, this is time to step out in faith, Tim. And so I put my hands on the truck. I didn't say anything to him. First of all, I asked, and I said, and then I commanded. I said, Lord, Jesus, start this truck before this battery goes dead. And it started sputtering, and the next time she cranked it, it fired up, and it ran. And I go, okay, that was pretty cool. And so they put it back together, and Tosh and I went down this little side street, and it came back, and the truck was gone. So they went on their way. The Lord spoke to me. I listened. And the guy, all I was going to say, when we got done, the guy got up and gave me a big hug, and he goes, God bless you. And I said, bless you too, brother, you know. And so it was a real, real positive thing. And it was good to get the people on their way and you know, listen to the Lord and not ignore him and then have regrets later. So it was a good thing for me. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. On a diesel, you have to bleed it. So the fuel will get up into the carburetor, whatever they got for the deal. At least you do on a tractor. Sometimes you can pour fuel into it, ride it straight into it, and it'll start. But, yep, that's a miracle right there that it did start without bleeding it. Amen. Okay, let's see. Somebody had something. Missy had. There has been a spirit of confusion in my house over the last couple of days. Please pray against that in the house and in anyone in my household. I just picked up Alex for the weekend. Please bind up spirits of rejection, contention, strife, and faction, or however you are led. Okay, let's pray for Missy and her household. We come against right now the spirit of confusion in her household right now. We command, we bind you up and throw you out of that house right now in Jesus' name. And we command you by the blood of Jesus to leave her house, and anybody that's in that house that has it, you go from them. You're not allowed in that household in the name of Jesus. And I command the spirits of rejection, contention, strife, and faction, all of them on Alex, and command them to go in Jesus' name. As long as you're there with mama, you can't go. You can't, you cannot show yourself in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for peace in that household. We command it. We command all the demons, the tormenting demons that are in that household now to go in Jesus' name. You're not allowed. And I thank you, Father, that as long as Alex is there, it's going to be peace in that household in Jesus' name. And who? Okay, anybody else that's in there?
And joy. Peace and joy.
Oh, yeah, okay, joy.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we thank you, Lord, that that's going to be full of joy, too, and everybody's just going to have a great time while they're visiting in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Amen. Joy, peace, and rest in you, Lord, while there is visitation there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Does he go back to school?
On
Monday. Is he home for spring break? Is that what it is? Okay.
Easter.
Okay. All right. But I generally was spring break when I went to school.
Actually, that was in early March.
Back. Oh, okay. What do I know? Okay. Thank you, Lord, for peace, joy, and rest in Missy's household in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? How about a praise report? Testimony. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Barbara. Hi, Barbara. Hey, Barbara. How you doing? How you is? Everything all right? That's so cool.
Hi.
Hey, girl. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You got Jesus right there with you, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, everyone.
They said hi. See them waving? Look at them waving at you. Amen.
Michael?
Yeah.
I'd like to share something. My sister, Joy, who she's been here and visited, texted me today and she said, can you tell me something about man-child? What do you know about that? She said, that's Jesus, right? But I came across something today. She didn't tell me what she came across, but I'm thinking one of the videos that got put up on YouTube. So I did. I told her some stuff and I wound up telling her more and more, which I shouldn't do for her. I had to make myself stop because it confuses her. But anyway, I said some stuff to her, and she texted back and said, God's ways are amazing. So I just want to pray that that God's doing this, that he's causing her to run into that. And I share with her what to listen to. And so I'm just kind of excited that she didn't ignore that. She asked me. So I want to pray for Joy. Lord, I do pray for Joy and Art, God. I pray, Lord, that you will just reveal yourself to them in mighty ways and reveal these truths in your word, Lord. Things that have been hidden from them, God, that you open their eyes and their ears to see and to hear, and they would receive in their hearts the truth, Lord, and want to go on with you, Father, in all that you have for them, Lord. Just pray you'll keep her seeking, Lord, and asking. And listening for your voice, Lord, as she is in the Word, and help her to hear and listen to these videos too. Pray you will take her to them in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for opening her spiritual eyes and ears, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that she is going to come in a mighty way. And Debbie's going to be mystified. She's going to be just so happy. Happy, happy, happy. That joy, joy, joy is coming to the Lord in a good and mighty and big way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. If she asks that question, she's on something. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh. Okay, anybody else? Let's pray. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, I had an experience yesterday. I know we prayed for boldness and whatnot Tuesday night, and I received that in the Lord's name. And the interesting thing that happened the next day when I went to work, I could tell the plumber, his countenance was like really down, disturbed, you know. And so I asked him, you know, I asked him what was wrong. It looked like something was wrong. And he said he just heard that his mother had a stroke, and she's in South Carolina or North Carolina, something like that. So at the time, and I just said, well, I'll pray for her. And he said, all right, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. And so I left at that time. I went up stairs onto the second floor, and I just started rebuking that that spirit, whatever, and praying and asking the Lord to heal her. And it dawned on me at that time that I should have, that everybody's testimony was that they stopped right there and they asked the person, you know, if they could pray with them at the time. I did not do that. I simply left and then I prayed for him, on the away from him at that time. And then later on, when I passed him in the hall, I said, listen, your mother's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And I'm sure that he realized, he didn't think anything about it. He just thought about, you know, it didn't change his countenance. He was pretty disturbed at the time. And just as a consequence this morning, he came up to me and said, oh yeah, I just want to let you know, my mom is fine. It was quickly over, so they don't know what it was or whatever, but it came and gone that quick. So I said, well, praise the Lord. And he said, yeah, praise the Lord, you know. So anyway, the next thing that happened is I was getting an inspection on the building from the township official, and he came in the door. And it was the same way. He was like, you could tell that he was under the gun. He was just, he was worried. And I again, I said, well, are you all right? You know, you seem a little bit, disturbed or whatever. And he said, well, yeah, I've been having some medical problems or whatever. And I was, you know, been in the hospital for the last couple of days now. And this was the confusion that I guess I'm wrestling over or whatever. And so I didn't say anything at that time, but the Lord really just kind of, you know, I was concerned about him and whatnot. And then when he left, I really felt like I should have gone, you know, followed him out the door and gone up and asked him to pray with him. And unfortunately, I did not do that. And I started, and I guess the confusion that was in my mind was, a thing of a thing of being an employee of a company or representing a company out there or something, and then dealing with the authority of the township. And I don't know if that's an excuse or confusion or whatever, but anyway, I gave it up to the Lord and asked him to resolve that, that if it's something that I need to overcome within me to bring it to my mind, show me where, you know, what I need to overcome, how I need to resolve or deal with these types of issues. I know it's a little bit different. In my mind, it's a little bit different if you are, say, out and about, you're in a store or something like that. You are your own, I guess you might say. You're representing your own. But when you are at your employment, you're representing a company, I guess. So again, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. It's just something that is there that I'm thinking. I know one time, way back when I don't remember what the situation was, but I was at work on another job, working for another company, and I got to talking about this guy with this guy about the Lord, and I got called into the office, and the owner of the company said, you know, hey, you can't do that type of thing or whatever. It was one of those things, keep your religion at Sunday or whatever. So at that time, I just, I took the correction and just let it go at that. So I'm number one, I'm asking for some prayer related to clarity on that particular issue. And I have to share a scripture that the Lord gave me today. This the first thing this morning, and that is, was praying about this, and I have no idea where this came from. Well, I do have an idea. The scripture, the example is that he gave me was in 1 Samuel 6:3, and It was the story, I'm not going to read the context, but it's a story where the Philistines had taken the Ark of God and taken it to their country, and God smote them with plagues or whatever, and they recognized that this that they had stolen the Ark of God and God was punishing them for it or whatever. So, and so what, and I don't think the context is all that necessary, because the Lord just used one little section of the scripture in that one of those verses. And he said, and the scripture is 6:3, he said, and they said, if you send away the Ark of God, of the God of Israel, send it not away empty, but by all means return him a trespass offering, then shall you be healed. And it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. And the thing that stuck out to me in that verse was, but by all means return him a trespass offering, then you shall be healed. And for whatever reason, I made the connection that this trespass offering, this healing that I was requesting from God, that there is a certain sacrifice of or an offering or a trespass offering. I guess what I'm thinking of is the sacrifice of the flesh to make confession to the Lord's name, to bring God into the conversation, to bring him into the situation as the healer. And I could see that I did not do that in this case. And so I wasn't participating fully in the benefit that God has, that the Lord has provided us in this healing or ministering healing to people. And so I guess by way of confession, I just confess that again, I want to, I'm asking the Lord to eliminate the confusion related to ministering this healing, ministering healing to others. When is the appropriate time? How do you broach through? And I'm going to use the word legally, minister the situation when you are, say, at work or in that working environment. One thing I do know for sure is that those people's needs, the need of that township official, was very it was transcending everything. I mean, I'm sure that if I could have said, well, you know, I'm at work here, and you know, this could be a technical issue here between the Lord, you know, I'm absolutely positive that if he could have received healing at that time, he wouldn't have cared where he was at and wouldn't have cared who he was under or, you know, what kind of government or what kind of restrictions are on him. It would have made no difference. So, again, I don't want to be over-exaggerating this situation. It may be that it's just simply something like pride or something in me that I just need to blow right through and forget it. Just take the consequences of whatever comes. But I'm asking the Lord for wisdom to deal with it anyway. So that's kind of my confession and prayer request all wrapped up in one. So, but I wanted to say that the Lord definitely gave me grace and power in that situation to overcome and step out and speak to the situation. So it was kind of a mixed bag there. So anyway, I would like to ask for prayer and to God to continue with what he's showing me and to make clear that path so I can walk in it straightly.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask people at work now what they do in those situations to help that out here. I didn't ever have that problem. I just went ahead and prayed for them. So nobody ever told me not to. So that's been 10, 15 years ago since I worked in a secular job. Go ahead, Dave.
If I see there's a situation and I'm in a one-on-one situation where I haven't got a lot of confusion around me and other people worry about there's ego pressure going on around with this person by saying anything, I'll ask them, you know, hey, are you a Christian? After they, you know, confide in me if there's some kind of issue. If they say, yeah, or, you know, and then at that point it says, well, you know, can we, let's just pray about it, you and me. I just right out front, do you want to pray about this? We can do it. And if they at that point agree with prayer, then you go right ahead. That's what I do. I won't force it. And then I will actually command. I do the commanding at that point. I don't, I start taking authority over the situation. But I make them think that it's going to be a prayer. Most people think, oh, yeah, he's just going to pray with me to God and ask for this. At that point, I just tell them, and I start praying basically to the Lord that, you know, thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. We're coming together against this, and I, whatever it is, name it. And then I command, start at that point, I start commanding whatever it is, problem is, to go. And that's been the way I tackle it. But I try to give it where, like you said, if you're not in a private situation, or you got a little privacy amongst you, you got to be careful about that, because, you know, you just want to make sure that this person is where you and him and the Lord are there. And you can make it personal that way. It's very much more personal. And now usually the Lord will set that up. You know, he'll set that up where it's just you and him. That's been my experience. At the same time, like, I had a guy come in today, and he'd been off work for 3 weeks. He's one of our vendors. A supervisor running around the area, he had to come home early, and his father-in-law had to go in the hospital, and he's telling me all this stuff and people all over the place in his house. And he's, you know, one of these guys where I can pray with and can't pray with, because his wife's a believer, but he's a Mason. You know, so it gets kind of funny. You know, he's got funny ideas, and he's very hyper, and if he sits down and listens long enough, then maybe I can do something. So I just kind of feel that out with the Lord too. I don't necessarily just jump right in and always volunteer, because, you know, some of these people have their own headstrong ideas, so you can't really do much with it. So if the Lord's going to open it up, he'll open it up for me on that too. I fail because I feel kind of convicted because I didn't offer any prayer, but he came in, he'd been gone for 3 weeks, he had to start taking care of things, and another guy was coming in that he had to converse with as was taking his place while he was there, and they had to go over things. And so he was all over the place, and I was just kind of, oh, okay. You know, so it's like, it depends what's all happening around me too. Too much happening, you just kind of, you can't really jump right in there and pull them out of their situation, you know. That's, they got to feel it out. That's just my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I have a thought. Could it be fear of man, fear of what he's going to think or what people around you are going to think?
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I mean, I've struggled with that all my life. That's why I say I put it up for, it may be one of them things that the Lord just, I just need to blow through it and take whatever comes, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Anybody else? Yeah, Joe. Can't hear you, Joe.
Can you hear me now? There we go. Good. There we go. No, I muted myself there. No, I was going to say, Dave kind of briefly touched on it there, but I have had those situations where I've been, like, you know, around all kinds of people, and you feel like you got to force it. Almost, well, 9 times out of 10, probably close to 10 times out of 10, it's just like, I think that's what, like, you know, you know, it's probably like more likely the flesh or, you know, the enemy caught and say, hey, you got to go do something, you know, do it, you know. And so Dave touched on it, said, you know, when the, you know, if you're led by the Lord, he will open up, he will do. And that's, I mean, practically every opportunity I've had to, I didn't pray for that person, you know, unfortunately. I mean, it's, or I said I would, you know, or I had a time to witness to somebody. It, you know, I mean, it was that private time. So just, you know, believe it. God will set it up for you. You know, when you're led, and I'm sure you know this, you know, when you're led, you know, by the Holy Spirit, it just seems to work out. Everything falls into place, you know, what to say comes naturally. And just, yeah, pray for that. Say, God, you know, I mean, I talked to this guy, you know, I'd love to talk to him again and pray for him this time, you know. And so, you know, he will work it out, you know. But, I mean, when it comes to those situations where you feel like, okay, you know, there's all these people around, what do I do? I don't know. I mean, I've never been in that situation and see God work, you know, personally. I mean, well, not that I can remember, but I guess, you know, a lot of times I've always felt led, and I know I felt led. And yeah, God just works it out. So, I mean, a lot of times, yeah, if you feel peace about doing it in front of all those people, absolutely, you know, go for it. But it's not, pray for those opportunities, you know, and God will open the door for them. So, yep.
Amen.
You know, I used another opportunity too. I had a young guy that was with me on that. He just kind of walked in, and this girl was telling me about, or a supervisor was telling me about her problems or back problems. And he walked in. He's kind of a, you know, he's kind of, he's been a Christian, but he's been a Catholic Christian and kind of in between Catholic and not, and Protestant. And so he's, you know, this other stuff is kind of new. So I said, hey, while you're with me, you're going to help me. You're going to put your hand on her shoulder. We're going to pray. And I brought him in the conversation, and then I commanded the pain to go with him there. I said, we come in agreement to show him, also trying to show him, hey, to take authority and give him confidence in doing this and show him something maybe he doesn't do around the setting he has for Christian settings, to expose them to what we have in Christ. I took that opportunity as a teaching moment. So it depends who you're with, if you know who you're comfortable with, you know. If you got Christian, other Christians around you, you can do that. You know, have them come in with you if they're there in a spot. And of course, God worked that out. He walked in and said, hey, we're going to do this together, okay? We're going to pray. Oh, yeah, okay. And then he didn't know what we were going after until I showed him. And so I just, it's, you know, however God works it out, you just kind of run with it, you know.
Amen. Hang on just a minute, Tim. Let me see. Jane, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Well, hi, Jane. Say hello to everybody.
Hello. My name is Jane. I live in Atlanta, and I'm blessed to be alive, and I want to be on the narrow road.
Amen. Well, you came to the right place, because everybody here wants to be on that same narrow way. Praise God. Are you on a phone or are you on a PC?
I'm just on my phone.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to mute you. I forget. Y'all, can y'all tell her how to do mute and unmute and all that?
You want me to unmute?
No, you're already unmuted. We can hear you. I can do it myself, but...
Star six.
Star six, yeah.
When you hit star six,
when you hit star six, that mutes you, and when you want to get unmuted, you hit it again, star six.
Okay, thank you. I can remember that.
Okay.
What does she do, Michael? What does she do to raise her hand on the phone?
Well, I don't know.
I'll just listen.
What is it?
Malcolm knows.
It's star nine to raise your hand.
Yeah, I thought so. Star nine.
And once you raise your hand, you can never put it down, I found out.
No, you star nine again, I
think. You do star nine again, and it just says, it's going to raise your hand again. It's like, okay, I can never, all the blood's running out of my hand. I can't do anything about it.
I'll lower it. I can lower it.
Okay, well, I'm going to press star six and listen.
Okay, that'll be good. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Too.
All right, Tim.
As far as Pat's situation there, I just had it, you know, all different ways depending on the number of people. If you're a man, you know, would step in, and a lot of times, you know, just the devil would say, "Dog, don't do it."
We'll talk to him about it tomorrow.
They don't want to hear this and that kind of thing. But and then, you know, and as soon as you don't do it, as soon as you listen to the enemy, then he puts condemnation on you right behind that too. Just a little stick it to you for it. But a lot of times, what I would do when I was working was I'd just say, "I'll pray for you," you know, and make it a thing that, you know, it'll be after work when I get home, in my prayer time, I'll say a prayer for you. And that was always well received. And it didn't, you know, it let people around know that, you know, that I was believing for something good to happen. It let the person that I was, you know, praying for, let them know that I was, you know, on their side, and that we'd get God in on the conversation. And it didn't put them in an uncomfortable position. And it seemed to work out pretty well, and I think the Lord honored that too. It seemed like there was quite a few answered prayers that I would just go home and bring it up with the family, and we would pray about the situation, and we'd get some answers. And you know, that was a faith building thing all in itself. And then you know, when we get back to work and people had seen a result, they'd be shared in the worker, you know, in the environment with other people, and it seemed to be a really good way to handle it without stepping on anybody's toes and getting the word out too. That was my best experience anyways, just saying, you know, I'll just pray for you and then go home and pray for him that evening.
Amen. You know, I would have missed out on a healing if I had done that, if the old boy that prayed for me one time had done. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just telling you what happened to me. First time I got healed. I was in a Christian bookstore, and this little guy came up to me, had a beard, about my age, and we started talking, and he says, "You got anything wrong with you?" And I'm looking at him like, "What is this going on? What's going on here?" You know, and I said, "Yeah," I said, "This is when I first got saved," and he said, "Well, can I pray for you?" I said, "Sure." And I'm thinking in my Baptist mind right then that he's going to go home and pray in his closet, and that's the last I'll see him. But he didn't. He said, he told my wife, he said, "Put your hand on his shoulder." I said, "Wait a minute, what are you talking about?" "Is she going to pray right here in this bookstore?" He said, "Yeah, you want to get healed, don't you?" I said, "I sure do. Put your hand up there, honey. We're going to see God do something, I hope. I don't know. You know, I'm a Baptist boy." And he did. And I did. And God did. And God healed me. So I guess it depends on the circumstances. From then on, I didn't pass a chance up to pray for somebody in the open. It didn't bother me that much, but Tim is right. There are times when you can't do it at work because restrictions require that you not do it. But for the most part, if I'm one-on-one with somebody, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to grab their hand. I'm going to say, "Look, I'm going to pray for you. Would you like for me to pray for you? And I'm going to pray for you right now. And when I pray for you, the word says when I pray, you're going to get healed. And if you believe that, you'll be healed. Do you want to get healed free without any restrictions, you know?" And most of the time, they'll say, "Yeah, go ahead." And God will. And if they don't want to, just tell them, say, "Well, I tell you what, I'm going to pray for you when I get home." Just like Tim said, "I'm going to pray for you when I get home. Is that okay?" "Sure." "Yeah." So, anyway, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I agree with what Tim is saying there, because, I mean, that's my normal tendency. Again, I do that. That was my first example of what happened. However, I think the Lord gave me the second experience there to show me that I need to find a way to address the other way as well. In other words, addressing the prayer on the spot, or finding I go back to the word a legal way, but find a practical way of applying that prayer, participating in that prayer immediately at that time, or finding a place or finding a logistical way to get the person's approval to proceed or whatever, and then approach it at that time, you know, like what you're talking about, Michael, because again, for me, I tend to do it. I tend to, you know, say, "Well, I'll pray for you," and then leave and pray later or whatever, because there's no pressure, there's no whatever. But I think that's why the Lord gave me that scripture. There's a certain amount of putting yourself out as a confession of the Lord in that particular time and bringing him into it. And I have to say that I'm quite weak in that area. So,
well, you know, there's prayer and then there's prayer. Look, if somebody needs a healing, you ain't got to go into some big, long, drawn-out healing prayer, you know. You don't have to say, we are gathered here today on this auspicious occasion. No. I just grab them by the hand and I'll tell them, I'll say, be healed in the name of Jesus. You believe that? And if they say, yeah, they'll be healed. And then that's it. That's all I do. I don't have to go into one of them long, drawn-out prayers. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm just thinking that I know what you're saying, Pat, also, because I think sometimes the healing circumstances come up in people's lives where we're praying for, that they're maybe they're not as close to the Lord as they used to be, or they came up in a religious environment, but the Lord opened up a door and allowing us to come in, and he's going to work in their life at that moment to give them an immediate healing or a relief that they need, and he's going to work in their life real quick, and it's going to open their eyes again to the Lord and draw them closer to the Lord. Sometimes I think he's using these healings that we perform to draw these people back close to him again. You know, that's the door we're doing too. That's the biggest door, is getting them back into the kingdom and thinking about God and getting God back in their life, because they might have drifted. A lot of the people that we're praying for, and sometimes it seems like they're drifted from God somewhat. And this is his way he draws them back. He shows his mighty power, and he does it through us. They look up to us and think, oh, it's not me, it's God. We give them that confession. Jesus did it. I'm just being the vessel. But it opens their eyes again to the mighty God that they have, that they've kind of felt let go to the wayside, and they gets them stirred up in spirit. Exactly, I think that's what we're doing here a lot of times too.
Amen. Amen. I love to pray for people out there on the streets, down in the lower part of town. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what, you go down there and you just mosey down through there. You'll find somebody needs praying for, and you'll ask them, do you need prayer? Oh, yes, would you please pray for me? And then those folks down there, they don't have the money to go to a doctor. They don't have the money to do all the things that we want, that they want to do. And they'll covet your prayers. And most of the time they'll be healed. Most of the time they'll be healed. And when you're at work, just like I said, if you can say a quick prayer, that's the best way, because it's a witness to them of the God in you, the light that's in you. And once God works in their life like that, they won't never forget it. You don't remember that time that guy with that beard prayed for me? Man, that was awesome. That was God, you know, and they won't never forget it. And it'll be a testimony to your obedience to the Lord to do that. And then when you go, and even if you have to pray for them at home because of whatever reason, or outside the work area, you go back and you check on them. How you doing there, brother? I pray for you, and I know God's working in your life. And I know that you're healed. But be sure and check on them so they'll know that you did pray for them. And they'll... They'll remember it, I guarantee you. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else want to light in here? Yeah, Dave.
I just wanted to, I'll say real quick, the other day I was at work. I got there, this is yesterday, I was starting to, you know, I felt all off. You know, you have those days you walk and you're just feeling off. And I thought, man, why do I feel like I got a headache? I got this headache coming. I don't get headaches, you know, I just, so ever since I've been with UPM and, you know, casting things off and getting rid of all the demons I had, I don't have headaches. I just don't get them. But I felt this one coming on, and I felt off, and my voice must have sounded a little funny. Because my boss says, yeah, your voice sounds funny. I said, oh, yeah, I guess. But, you know, you can't tell. I always wear earmuffs anyways. And so I thought about after about 4 hours, I got most of my stuff done I had to take care of and just got it done real quick. And I just went up and I said, you know, I'm going to take the rest of the day off. I'm going to take a sick day. I have 4 hours of sick leave, go home, just lay down. But at the same time, I'm saying, man, I'm not receiving this. I'm casting this off in the name of Jesus. But, you know, I'm just going to get off the clock, go home. I don't do this that often. So I went home and laid down. You know, I got up, you know, after about a few hours, and what people around here were getting stuff and getting calmed down with things, and I got up. I felt fine. I really felt good. The next day, today I woke up, I was 100% better. But just receiving it, cast it off myself, you know, not receiving it in the name of Jesus, it was a little bit of a battle, but it went away. So I just wanted to give the Lord credit for that, too. So we can have that self-healing. We can cast it and receive it. So,
amen. You know something, y'all. Remember, y'all know the parable of sowing and reaping. You sow healing to people, God's going to heal you. I learned that early on. You sow healing, you'll reap healing. You sow deliverance, you'll get deliverance. Whatever you sow, that's the wheel of nature, or the cycle of life, David calls it. That's the cycle of life. You sow it, you'll reap it. And so anytime that you get a chance to pray for somebody, do it. Pray for them. And watch them get healed. And know that they're going to get healed. Don't just do it because, you know, God said to do it. But do it because you want to do it. You want to see those people delivered from that mess that they're in, you know. Gosh, I can tell you all the people that we've prayed for over the last 20 years that have been set free. I guarantee you most of them don't never forget what happened when they got here. They won't ever forget it. I won't ever forget that little guy that prayed for me first time. I followed him around for 8 months. I said, this guy knows something. He knows a whole lot more than I do. I'm going to grab a hold of him. We're going to go find out what this healing's all about. And we did, boy. I'm telling you what, we went in the streets of Memphis, down in on Jackson Street, and what's that other one? Brown Street. And we left a trail of people healed. I'm telling you, it was awesome. And that was about 8 months. And then the Lord told me to leave him alone. I went somewhere else and taught somebody else what it was to be bold and be healed and to heal people and deliver people. See people get delivered. And it's not us, you know. It's not us at all. I couldn't heal a gnat. If I wanted to, I couldn't heal a gnat. But the Christ in me can, I guarantee you. The Christ in me can bring people to life. Christ in me can make limbs grow out. The Christ in me can bring the dead back to life. The Christ in y'all can do the same thing. He can do anything Jesus did. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. I mean, he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That don't mean that things have gone away. They ain't gone away. Where'd they go to? What verse in scripture can you give me that says healing, deliverance, and all of that has gone away? It's not in the Word of God. And boy, you can affect people's lives with that. I remember that time I prayed for that little newborn baby that had a hole in his heart and they give up on it. And they come, somebody come to him and he said, there is a young couple over there at Children's Hospital that's got a newborn baby. It's not 4 days old. I don't remember what it was. He said, it's got a hole in its heart. He said, would you go pray for it? I said, yeah. So I went over there and I told the daddy. He said, oh, yeah, please, go ahead. And I went in there and I prayed for that baby. And they don't know what happened. The doctors don't know what happened, but the baby had a brand new heart. Brand new. You're able to give people back the newborn baby that they had declared dead, and then be able to hold and raise that baby again. You know, that's wonderful. That's what God does through you. You just have to believe. That's all you have to do is just believe. And know that when you put your hands on somebody and command healing, it's going to happen. Sometimes they feel something, sometimes they don't. It don't make no never mind. I told you the other night, about that kid in that wheelchair that had a motorcycle accident and broke his back. It was 6 weeks later before he ever got healed, but he got healed. And they said that he would never walk again. Well, bless God, he will if he believes. That's what faith is, folks. We just have to grab a hold of it and go with it. Trust God. That's what it is, trust in God. Go ahead, Miss.
Well, you know, this whole thing is reminding me of the chapter in Absolute Surrender that's called Impossible with Man, Possible with God.
Amen.
And, you know, what we're talking about here is the omnipotent God that we have, the mighty, almighty, all-powerful God. It's Him, like you're saying, it's not us. But this last statement in this chapter, you know, I thought was to apply, but how he's applying it, though, is that, you know, it's God that works in you to will and to do, to, you know, you think this is an unsurmountable thing, you know, to absolutely surrender to God, but He's the almighty, powerful God that can work it in you, and that's what's so encouraging. This chapter just like, boy, after I read this chapter, I was just like so pumped up. But this last paragraph here, I think we can apply to this if you look at it in the perspective of what Michael's been sharing. And I just want to read it to you quick. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. All around you, there is a world of sin and sorrow, and the devil is there. But remember, Christ is on the throne. Christ is stronger. Christ has conquered and will conquer. Christ will conquer. But wait on God. My text casts us down, the things which are impossible with men, but it ultimately lifts us up higher, are possible with God. Get linked to God, adore and trust Him as the omnipotent one, not only for your life, but for all the souls that are entrusted to you. You know, and it just makes me think of the lawyer saying, who's my neighbor? You know? And then the Lord goes on to tell the story about the Good Samaritan, you know. And you know, those that are entrusted to you. He's speaking mainly to quote unquote ministers here, you know, or whatever. But you know, anyone that's entrusted to you that the Lord brings across your path and says, okay, go pray for them or go talk to them or whatever, is what I'm applying it. So I'm going to go back here again. Adore and trust Him as the omnipotent one, not only for your life, but for all the souls that are entrusted to you. Never pray without adoring His omnipotence, saying, Mighty God, I claim Thine almightiness. And the answer to the prayer will come. And like Abraham, you will become strong in faith, giving glory to God because you account Him who hath promised, able to perform. Yeah, so, amen. Yes, Ennis. Oh, that chapter just so pumped me up.
Amen, that's a good one. Hebrews 10:38.
Listen. Yeah.
Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one shall live. Now, most of your Bible says by faith, but the numeric says from faith. That's how we live. We live from faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We want God to be happy about us, don't we? But we are not of them that shrink back into perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Amen. And we all know what faith is. What is faith? This faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what God formed the world with. Faith. He spoke it and it happened. That's what we're supposed to do. Speak it and it's going to happen. I'm going to speak some bold faith in you, Pat, in the name of Jesus right now. I thank you, Father, for giving him bold faith and bold witness in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of the fear of man off of him. You go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to have boldness in Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you're filling him up with your Holy Spirit. And not only that, Father, you give him the spirit and the gift of believing that when he puts his hands on somebody and prays for them for healing, they're going to get healed in Jesus' name. Give him bold faith, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
I receive it.
Amen. Yes, I know.
Hey, I wanted to share what Missy, when she said that, is talking about that, what he said, adore and trust him as the omnipotent one, not only for your own life, but for all the souls that are entrusted to you. And this, when she said that, this verse came to me, and this is kind of one of those things that the Lord, I'll just say what the verses are. Ephesians 2:8 said, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. And then this verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. And what I got out of that verse was that God created these good works in Christ, the very works that we were and are supposed to walk in. They were already prepared at creation for us to walk in them. And those works, those people that we touch along the course of our life, are those souls that are entrusted to us, that God has intentionally put in front of us and in our way, that his good works may be manifest, those that he created from the foundation of the world. And so it's just a little bit different thinking about what is entrusted into us. Is not only these people in my family, or my family around me and the people that I see, but it's also all of those that I will touch and that we all will touch as the providence of God leads us through our life here. So just kind of another little point.
I'm glad you brought that up. Ephesians 2:8. If you've read real good news, you understand what that word saved means. That word saved is sozo in the Greek. And is used in the New Testament for healing, deliverance, provision, protection. Everything that you need is what Ephesians 2:8 is talking about. Everything. That word sozo is used as made whole. It's used as deliverance. It's used in all of those instances I just told you about. And so all we have to do is believe what the Word of God says and trust God that He's going to do it. In every instance, He says, for by grace, that's unearned, okay, that's unearned, have you been saved, healed, delivered, protected, provided for, through faith, through your faith and my faith. That's where it all comes from. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There ain't nothing we can brag about, is it? It all comes from God. Everything comes from God. And not of works. What kind of works? Well, doctor can't do it. Listen, if a doctor was honest, he'll tell you right away he can't heal nothing. All he can do is make you feel better with drugs and things like that. He makes you feel better. He can sew up a wound. He can do that kind of thing. But he can't heal anything. It takes God to do that. If he's honest with himself, he'll tell you that. I've had doctors tell me that they couldn't heal anything. All they could do is make you feel better. And most people have a Jesus complex about their doctor. And I was talking to people in the Bible study that over 250,000 people in America die from mistakes that doctors and nurses, and that's just what the AMA says and publishes. That doesn't count the ones that they didn't tell them about. And so why would I want to put my trust in the doctor when I can put my trust in the one that I can trust, and that's God the healer, Jesus the healer. He wasn't a physician, he was a healer. And he didn't practice medicine, he did it. He didn't practice medicine, he healed. And that's what he does through all of us. He heals, delivers, and sets free, and protects, and provides for everybody. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Well, you know, even the doctors will say that, they won't say that, but basically, at best, all they are doing is either cutting the diseased portion away or burning it out or doing something to stop it or hinder it enough so that the natural healing process of the body will take place and the body heals itself. I mean, even in all their radiation treatments and chemotherapy and everything, all they're doing is just trying to kill the bad stuff and give the body a chance to heal itself. But I wanted to, you mentioned that verse 2:8, and saved by grace. And one of the things that always kind of hit me about that word grace is the definition of that, the Strong's definition is, it is figuratively or spiritually, it is the manner or act, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. And that aspect of divine influence upon the heart and connecting that with by grace are we saved, or by that the normal definition is unmerited favor. But in my mind, that word unmerited favor, that definition kind of is a passive kind of a definition. But
what does unmerited mean?
Undeserved.
Undeserved. You can't work for it, can you?
Correct. Correct. Which I'm not saying that that's not what the word grace means. It's but the aspect of there is an influence that happens through that process of grace in our heart that produces a movement, a motivation, a movement or whatever. There's something there of divine influence upon the heart that is also combined with that passive awareness of unmerited favor. I think it all has to work together or whatever. But anyway, that's it. I've run my mouth enough.
That's okay, Pat. Yeah. Well, faith in the salvation, Ephesians 2:8 takes care of everything. If you've read real good news, David's real good news, you understand what sozo is. He goes through the whole New Testament and picks them out, and I mean explains it, and it's just awesome. And when I first read that book, I was just amazed. I didn't understand that part of it, but I knew God healed because we've been experiencing that. Praise God! But it just incorporates so much more than just healing and our salvation of our souls. Even that, it's hard to grasp unless you get into those other books too. Perfection through Christ and How Shall We Die? Oh, that book here, I hated that book. That book was tough, boy. I'm going to tell you, that's a tough book, but it's good. It's necessary. Praise God. Joe, did you have something you wanted to share? I saw you raise your hand.
Well, I just wanted to say, I like how you said about the doctors, if they got honest with themselves, they would realize we can't heal anything. And I remember watching a DVD, out of all the places, Scientology, with my past experiences with mental health issues, mentally, with my past of just never being totally whole mentally, they had a DVD, I guess, through an organization within the, cult of Scientology. They were exposing psychiatry, basically of just, for the fraud it is, I guess. I guess you can say secular, non-Christian, psychology or psychiatry. And they got on video one psychiatrist saying, there is no cure to what we're doing. We've never had one cure for any of this. And that just I remember hearing that and I was like, that blew my mind. I'm like, finally, they're honest. They got somebody to be honest and say there is no cure. Basically, like you said, they're just, ultimately, I think it kind of realized, dawned on me, they're just masking the symptoms to get more money from you. Basically, that's what they were, it comes down to, to nickel and dime you to death, as they say, to get more money out of you, and then leave you to die, but with Jesus, we realize he, like you said, he was a healer. And I remember when you prayed for me last year, that first real, healing, I can remember, healed my back. And I thought, because I was always, I always kind of discouraged myself from going to the doctor and seeking help from man, and I was like, I remember that next day, for so many years, I couldn't really bend over, I felt the muscles in my lower back tighten up. And I was just like, I remember just bending over and grabbing something. I was like, I haven't done that in years. I was like, man, I miss how that is, And I mean, being a big guy, I'm thinking, well, this might be tough, but I just said, let me bend over. I bent over, picked it right back up without, like I was a young child. And I thought, wow, amen. Thank you, Lord. So, oh yeah.
Amen. Doctors are necessary for those who don't believe. I believe that. I don't believe that Christians, once they get a hold of the gospel, unless their faith is not such that they can believe, I got to be very careful here. Doctors, to me, are what are they into? Pharmaceuticals, pharmakia, a witchcraft. And I'm not saying that if you don't have the faith not to go to a doctor, I never do that. I am saying that as soon as you can, you need to get in the Word and understand faith and grasp that wonderful thing that God has given us. And it's nothing that you can do other than just to ask God for it, and He'll give it to you. It's a whole lot cheaper than doctor. Listen, he was talking about psychiatry. Psychiatry is not a science, y'all. It's not a science. There's no such thing as psychiatric science. It's they'll tell you that it's not a science. All they do is give you a pill until the symptoms are lined out a little bit and you straighten yourself out. Psychiatry has never been recognized as a science up until this century. So the psychiatrist, you're wasting your money if you go to a psychiatrist. I'll just tell you that. You're wasting your money. They'll give you a pill, and you'll walk around like a zombie for a while. I remember Michael Doty. Y'all remember the testimony of Michael Doty? He fell off a horse. Had fell off a horse and busted his head. I think he got hit by a truck or something, and busted his head open. Some of his brains splattered out on the concrete. They picked him up, his brains up, and throwed him back in his box and took him to the hospital, sewed him up, and he was just on pills for a long time until he got a hold of David's stuff, and somebody brought him over to David or something. David prayed for him, and God healed him. God healed him. And he'd go back to that doctor, you know, and that doctor gave him some more pills, and he wouldn't take them. His mama made him want to try to make him take those pills, you know, and he'd act like he's putting them in his mouth, and he'd put them in a bag. And then after a few weeks and stuff, maybe a few months, I don't remember what, he asked David, said, would you go with me back to that doctor, psychiatrist? Doctor, he said, doctor, psychiatrist is what he was. And he said, yeah, I'll take you up there. And he took him up there, and he took his bag of pills that he'd been collecting all that time. And he went in there, and he started talking to that psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist got all, man, you act like you're healed, boy. He said, we did some good, didn't we? Man, we're doing some good with you, Michael. You're just getting it all much better. Michael picked up that sack of pills, throwed it on his desk. He said, it wasn't you, Doc. It was God. Jesus healed me. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Just busted his bubble. I'm telling you what. But and when he did, you know, he was, we had him here for a while. And he was a mess. But anyway, I digress. But yeah. Put them pills. I had a whole, David said he had a whole big old sack full of them. Said he put them up there. Here's what your pills are. Here's your pills. Said I didn't take none of those. Said God healed me. Praise God.
And so that psychiatrist immediately fell down on his knees and blessed God and repented and threw all his pills away, right? Wasn't that the rest of the story, Michael?
I'm sure that's what happened, Pat. I'm sure that's probably what happened. I imagine he couldn't wait to get him out of there after that. I don't know, but you know, if you think about it, if you remember David's testimony about them praying for that guy that was in the psychiatric hospital, he's in a psych ward, man, a bunch of crazy folks in there. That was funny too. He said, This crazy guy, that all he did was run up and down the wall, you know, just back and forth, up and down the wall, hugging the wall. And said, for one day, said he came up to him and said, the Lord told me to give you this, and gave him a Bible. And he said, oh, thank you. So the guy that they had been praying for went and read the Bible. Somebody help me out here. I'm getting kind of fuzzy on what happened. Yeah, Missy.
Didn't he not just give him a Bible, but gave him certain scriptures?
Yeah, he did. I don't know what they were.
Two or something. Yeah. and then he went back to the guy later, you know, to thank him and everything, and he was clueless, you know, about.
I didn't give you no Bible. Went back to hugging the wall. You got to listen to it. It's on the website somewhere. Oh, my. And the guy, to make that story short, the guy was completely healed, delivered, and came out of that psych ward and started running after Jesus. Completely healed, delivered. Praise God. That's the power of God. And your prayers. Your prayers are powerful. Them angels are sitting there waiting on y'all to pray. Because when you pray, that puts you, they have to punch your time card and go to work. Y'all remember that time when I was over? I don't know if some of you remember or not. We started doing prayer meetings over at Sweetwater when we was over there. One day the Lord showed me that the angels were just kind of milling around outside and inside the house, just kind of milling around. I said, what in the world is going on here, you know? And the Lord told me, he said, ain't nobody putting them to work. You got to pray and put them to work. So we started doing prayer meetings. And one morning we were praying. David was over there too, I believe, that day. And he'd come all the way over there to pray with us. We always started early in the morning. And I saw the angels. They were hovering about peach tree high out in the yard out there. And then we started praying in the spirit and started praying and real hard about things. And I don't even remember what we was praying for. But they quit flying and they started walking up toward the porch. And they were all huddled around there listening. And then one of them would fly off, and then another one would fly off, and then another one would fly off, and then another one would fly off. I said, what in the world is going on here, you know? Well, it was our prayer sending them to do God's work. Just remember that. That's what those angels are for. They're doing God's work. Praise God. I said, it's awesome. Praise God. This walk we got, y'all, is so awesome. Ain't it? It is. Because God puts love in our hearts to want to see people healed, delivered, and set free. We want to see them happy as we are, don't y'all? I want to be happy all the time. Y'all want to be happy all the time? Me too. Praise God. Lord, I just thank you for happy. Happy is so good. I know I'm being silly, but I'd have to be sometime. All right. Anybody else got something they want to share?
Well, I do. I just have to say this. Last Tuesday, we were talking about this and about going out and doing this with people praying. And I could just see in the spirit just God's people, little Jesuses everywhere, just praying for people and doing God's business. And then tonight, I'm seeing like a congestion of people, just a congestion all over, busy doing God's business and healing people and building up the kingdom. And I just see that. I know that's what God wants to do. And I just hear him saying that if we don't do that, if we let fear come in when we know we should go to somebody, we're allowing the enemy to get in the door. And that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for us to act in fear so they can, so the enemy can, demons can get their foot in the door and make it stop the work in us and even increase the work in against the person we should pray for. But you know, I just am sensing like this is a school here, and wherever else people are learning from David's books or learning faith, it's a school, and then soon God's gonna want to be sent out and doing his work, doing this work that he's called us to do. I just see real congestion of little Jesuses all over the place.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be Jesus walking in his steps. Yeah. I had an old evangelist, healing evangelist, one time tell me, he said, here's what you want to do, Michael. He said, you want to have a testimony when you get real old, because you're going to live old. He said, when you get real old, that you'll be able to sit up on your front porch in your rocking chair, and your grandkids will be able to come up there and ask. He said, Papa, tell me about that lady that her back was messed up. Tell me about that kid that his feet was straightened out. Tell me about all of those healing problems. And then you'll instill in them the want to love God because they're setting people free. He said, don't you want that? I said, yeah, I sure do. So that's, you know, that's kind of kept me going. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, you know, I was looking up some verses earlier, and I came across this, and I love these two verses, and these speak of God's complete salvation. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. That's the power of God. I love that. Is just you know, that's the real good news. You know, the book you mentioned earlier, you know, that's it in a nutshell. You know, I mean, yeah, the gospel, yeah, David lots of times talks about, you know, his favorite verse, you know, that's the gospel in a nutshell. But this is more specific, and it, you know, David's favorite verse is 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. But this is more specific.
This is maturity.
Right.
This is maturity. And exactly. The God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's that 100-fold maturity God's looking for.
Mm. Yep. Faithful that calleth you, who will also do it.
Amen. That's it.
I got an
to do.
Go ahead, Pat.
I got an example too. First, Acts 4:1. It's Peter and John before the council, and they spake unto the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being sore troubled, because they taught the people and proclaimed in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, this appears to be Peter and John being very sensitive to the town leadership at this time. And so, and the result of their preaching, and they laid hands on them. The priests and the Sadducees were so happy to hear this word, they laid hands on them and put them in the ward until tomorrow, for it was now eventide. But many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders, if we this day are examined concerning a good deed to an impotent man, by what means this man is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even in him does this man stand before you whole. He is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which was made the head of the corner, and in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. And then it says, now when they beheld the boldness of John and Peter and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And seeing that the man was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So I guess that's my answer for my question that I had related to my interaction with the township and whatever. And I think it's just a step out and see what happens type of thing. Anyway, I just thought I'd share it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for boldness for all of us. Thank you, Father. When I was in that, just a little short story, when I was in that big Baptist church, and there were some old ladies in the back pews, and they'd always huddle back there together, and man, they were awesome old ladies. They would always, and I'd tell them about these things that were happening out on the streets, you know, about these people getting healed, and they'd get all excited, man. They'd get really excited. And it was just a wonder always to talk with those old ladies, because they understood the Bible a lot more than most of the people in that church, a lot more than that pastor did. And they were really receptive, and they really encouraged me when I first started out learning about healing. All right, anybody else? You know, yeah, Malcolm, go ahead, bud.
Oh, I just wanted to bring up a topic but I don't know that it needs to be brought up here. I could bring it up with David, maybe David Eel sometime. And it's not on the topic of what we've been talking about tonight, but he said a couple times now that it could be, some folks are saying, he's not saying this necessarily, but he hasn't come out against this, and that it could be a year or two before we go into the wilderness, which and that some things he's talking about things that would happen before going into the wilderness, and maybe since he's not here, you know, it'd be better to, I could, you know, just ask him about that. But anyway, I was just curious as to what your thoughts are, maybe some other folks here. This is quite a change to my thinking. Well, if it's going to be down the road a while, then what?
What are you asking, Malcolm?
Asking if we could, if you want to discuss that or address it, or just
discuss what? I'm having trouble understanding what you want to discuss.
Oh, I'll have to crank up my volume here.
Okay, you're talking about what's going to happen before the tribulation, before we go into the tribulation, or afterward?
Right. The wilderness, I guess I've been under the impression that the wilderness is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the GCR will happen about the same time we go into the wilderness.
Well, but I think it's going to happen a little bit before, because I believe God wants us to get ready for the wilderness before it happens. And I think, of course, the man-child is going to be anointed before we go into the tribulation, because he's the one that's going to lead the bride into tribulation, right?
Right.
And so it's going to take, I believe, the wisdom of the man-child to handle the money to do what has to be done. So.
Right. It's, you know, it's really hard to imagine if we're going, if, say, you know, all these funds become available and all of a sudden we're going into the wilderness, then, well, how in the world, you can't just walk out of a bank with a bunch of money. It's not even possible.
I don't know why you can't.
Well, because the FBI goes after you, anything over $7,500.
Hey, it's going to be in plastic.
Right, yeah. But so I'm just saying.
Walk out with all you need right there.
Right. But if the banks are down, then what's the point? So anyway, I'm adjusting my thinking a little bit, because David has said this a couple times now. And it's kind of new to my thinking, and that's why I brought it up, even though I probably haven't communicated myself.
Yeah.
Oh, and maybe no. I was. Yeah.
The money's going to be there. The Lord's already promised us the money. He promised
right.
the provisions to get things ready beforehand. And how it come, don't care. If it comes,
well, it's not the money I'm thinking about. It's the timeline. You know, if there's some time before the wilderness, well, that it's a little bit different thinking for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Then what?
It's like starting tomorrow or next week. That's
oh,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that has to take place is the covenant. That's the first thing before the wilderness takes place. Is the covenant has to be signed.
But
also, what has to take place is the man-child anointing. That has to take place. Yeah, Matt.
I think generally what is going to have to take place is the preparation plagues coming into the countries and the world, basically, to not only to prepare the people of God with a willingness to leave Egypt, so to speak, just like happened in Moses' time. Part of the plagues fell on the Israelites, the Jews,
mm-hmm.
just to stir them up and make them a little uncomfortable with being in Egypt there, and kind of motivating them to be ready to make the move, type of thing. So I think we can, generally speaking, I think we can expect some times that are coming ahead that are not going to be exactly comfortable, but there'll be a learning experience for us to work our way through it in faith and trust God to supply. But I'm not quite sure I'm tracking exactly with what Malcolm's talking about the money, not getting our money out of the bank and this and that, whatever. I think things are going to be a little, I'm thinking more of the overall environment.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that. I believe we've had dreams about the plague coming from the border, coming up from the border. And that may be the way the plague starts, you know. People being hired to come through the border with certain biological weapons on their person and then turning them loose in populated areas. And once it gets out, you know, it's hard to stop. So we've asked the Lord if we're to pray that down, and he's told us you can pray for lessening. Y'all know what it's for, don't you? You know what God's purpose is in doing it, don't you? It's to shake up the church. That's what it's for. It's to shake the church up and get them off a dead center. Let's do something before I forget it. Let's pray for Julie. She's going up to Iowa to her brother, Mark, who's doesn't have but just a little while to live. And let's just pray for her. Father, I lift up Julie to you. I thank you, Lord, for protecting her on the way up there and giving her peace in her heart, Lord. We prayed for Mark, and we believe he's saved because of our prayers. And Father, I thank you that she's going to go up there and she's going to be a light to the rest of her family. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that while she's there, that you'll give her wisdom, discernment, and a peace in her heart that what she does say is going to affect people. And Father, I thank you for that. And I ask that you bring her back safely and with joy in her heart that her brother is with you. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Does anybody else want to pray? Marilyn, you want to pray or Barry?
Go ahead.
Well, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for Julie, because she's full of faith. She's full of the word, and she's just full of Jesus. And those of us that know her and love her from the fellowship, you all know that. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you that you made a way. You got her a flight today on short notice. I'm also thankful, Lord, that she had some time. She was able to FaceTime with her brother before he started going down. And she's got I just pray and trust and believe, Lord, she got real peace in her heart, that Mark's in your hands and you do all things well. And Lord, you saw him coming into the world and you see him leaving. And Lord, he's had a hard life. And he's just going to have joy unspeakable, and he's going to be full of glory. And Julie will be able to be with him again. I thank you, Lord, that they had a good relationship. And I pray, Lord, you're going to bring healing mercies into that family. They've been through some hard, hard things ever since they were kids and even babies, some of them, amongst the siblings. There's just been some real heartache and tragedy. And I pray, Lord, that during this time of the family coming together, that it's going to be a time of healing and grace, and you're going to pour out a spirit of repentance on everyone. We bind up all spirits of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness, criticism, judgment, and blame. We just cast all that down in Jesus' name. That's not going to be a part of their time together. And just thank you, Lord, for pouring out a spirit of grace and blessing upon each and every one of them, Lord. And they're going to, when they leave there, they're going to be in a different place with you, because you're drawing them to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's all to your glory, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, we just believe you're going to answer our prayers in Jesus' name, that this is going to be a change in her family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you send your angels up there to prepare them before she gets there, and that they'll be receptive to anything she has to say about you, Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And okay. Saturday night, Willie, if you want me to, I'll open up at 8:30. Anybody that wants to join us, welcome to it. Willie, are you there? Come in, Willie. Biker, biker. Biker, biker, come in, Willie. He's snoozing. Amen. Okay. Is there anything else we need to pray about before we leave tonight? Jane, do you have any prayer requests you'd like to mention?
Well, yes. I have some gums that have been affected by medicine that I've had to take, and I just pray they'll be healed before I go into the dentist Tuesday, and they won't have to charge me another $430 to do this planing and scraping, because there's a lot I could do with $430.
Amen. So,
anyway, that's my prayer request. God,
you're talking about, your teeth?
It's my gums. Anyway, I've had to take this medication that has affected my gums. So, anyway, praise the Lord. It's called scraping and planing. And they did the right side of my mouth, and now I'm supposed to go in for the left side of my mouth. And I could talk about it more, but I don't think that's necessary.
Okay. Let's pray.
Anyway, if God can use the dentist, if I need this procedure, fine. He'll provide the resources. But if not, I think it'd be so cool if I went in and the lady said, well, hey, we decided you don't need this on the left side. We took care of the right side, and the left side looks good.
Okay. We're going to pray for you. And you're going to believe that what we pray is going to happen?
Well, yes, sir, of course.
Okay. We're going to pray then. Father, whatever this procedure is, we reverse everything that they want to do in Jesus' name. We command those teeth to be white as snow. We command whatever is wrong with them to be healed in the name of Jesus. And that, just like Jane said, when she goes in there, the dentist is going to say, well, we don't need to do that because it's already done. You just tell them, you shoot up there, Jane, you say, Jesus did that for me. And just watch what happens. Praise God. Lord, I thank you that it's happening right now in her mouth. And I thank you, Father, that whatever it is, the procedure she had to do will not have to take place because of your glory. And she's going to give you the glory and not the dentist. And it ain't going to cost her a nickel. It's not going to cost her a nickel in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
And I just believe in healing. And I'm definitely believe in God's word. And it promises healing to believers.
Amen. Yeah. But okay. Well, praise God.
And I hope you have a wonderful Easter.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon everybody to speak and to give the revelations and to teach and to give those things that you wanted spoken tonight. And I thank you for it. And I hope, Lord, that everybody got something out of it and they got blessed because of it. In Jesus' name, Lord, continue to work in each one of us. Continue to keep us on that narrow road. Continue to work holiness in all of us, Lord. And we praise you for it because we know that we can't do anything without you. It has to be all you or nothing. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we do absolutely surrender our lives to you on the altar. And we thank you, Father, that we know and we trust that you're going to do it in Jesus' name. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep, Lord. Give us dreams and visions of the things that are fixing to happen. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. God bless you. Let me unmute.
God bless you.
Okay. There we go. Good night, everybody. Love y'all.
All righty.